This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And do we talk about what just happened on air? That's something they didn't prepare us for when we were doing our Taste of Radio. For those who could imagine, there was a little bit of something going wrong just then, but it's now all sorted. And the IT boys and the programming boys and everybody who could walk was actually running. It was fantastic to see. I feel like I'm in very safe hands here.
It's probably just as well I wasn't running, because really face planting is not very helpful in a situation when you have gremlins.
So. Absolutely, yeah. And because, you know, you got your chair there and it's all electric, we just don't know what the fault was, and we could have ended up with you going through the window. Not yes, a good way to start a radio show.
That would have been a very good way to start the show. So welcome to absolutely everybody, everybody.
Welcome. And today we have Amy with me.
Hello.
Hello. Trevor, which is me, on the mic. Lucy is panelling and recovering very, very well. And we have Cameron Sinclair, the CEO of Road Trauma Support Services of Victoria. Hello, Cameron.
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I am extremely well. What was your take on all that mayhem?
Oh, I thought it was a great deal of fun, if you want to be truthful.
I did notice you just sitting back and just watching us all run madly from one studio to another.
Organised chaos. Fantastic.
And we did it, and the whole team did it, which was fantastic to see. Okay. So on today's show, we're actually going to be talking about volunteering. And Cameron has decided to, or not decided, has joined us to talk about volunteering within his organisation. Amy's got a whole lot of stuff to talk about in terms of some fantastic community programs that are up and coming. And as always, we welcome your feedback. So apart from telling us that the gremlins are alive and well, email us on air at joy.org.au and give us your feedback. We also have a competition today. So again, keep your fingers ready for that. Amy, what's been happening for you in the past couple of weeks?
I've just been busy studying and going to a few plays around town and that sort of thing.
Did you get to see Cock?
I did. And I actually really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure what to think initially because I've heard mixed reviews. But yeah. I went with my mum and my sister and we all really, really enjoyed it.
Fantastic. How do you discuss that, even the name of it, with your mother? I think I'd be blushing every time I'd say what the play was called.
She's actually a very, very open-minded, fabulous woman. Mm-hmm. So she had less of an issue with it than I did, to be honest, which was quite amusing. So
don't you love it when your parents put us to shame? Mm.
So, yeah. No, we thought it was very good indeed and very interesting and very topical, I guess.
Okay. Cameron, have you seen the play that we're talking about?
I have seen Cock. Yes, indeed, I have.
Indeed. And what were your views of it?
I thought it was terrific. I thought it was very, very good indeed.
Mm-hmm. And for people who are MTC members, it's quite a non-traditional play to be playing as part of the Melbourne Theatre Company. Mm.
And it raises a lot of interesting questions about the nature of relationships and how we view ourselves, and are we open to new experiences?
Or new way of thinking.
And the consequences that has on our lives. So, yeah, it's very interesting stuff.
So I think it's finished its run, but in case you see it advertised in other places, go for it. It's 13 minutes past midday. You're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
19 minutes past midday, and you're with Amy and Trevor on Absolutely Everybody. And we have with us Cameron, who's from Road Trauma Support Services, get that out, Amy, which is a not-for-profit organisation contributing to the safety and well-being of road users, providing counselling and support to people affected by road trauma and addressing the attitudes and behaviour of road users through education and public events. Welcome, Cameron.
Oh, thanks, Amy. You did very, very well to get that out. It is quite a mouthful.
It is a bit. Tell us about what your organisation does.
Well, look, as per the introduction, the organisation works in the road safety industry. and we provide statewide counselling over the phone and face-to-face to people that have been traumatised by crashes on our roads or incidents on our roads. We also provide statewide education to people who have been referred through the Magistrates Court or through the legal system for committing road offences.
Great.
You mentioned that it's a small non-for-profit community-based agency. What does that mean?
Small or not-for-profit?
Well, either or. Okay, not-for-profit and it's small in office space?
Well, okay, let's start with not-for-profit. The term that we tend to use now is for-purpose, which means that clearly we're not in the business to make money. Mm-hmm. So we don't make money for profit for shareholders, obviously. Small, I suppose small's a relative term insofar as revenue, where we're reasonably small insofar as reach and, you know, efficacy. I think we do quite a terrific job. So in essence, we have over 120 volunteers supporting the organisation, and we are largely also reliant on community support, donations and fundraising efforts to keep us afloat.
So that's quite a number of volunteers that you need to manage.
It is indeed.
So we brought you in today to have a chat about what or why people should volunteer. What are some of the programs that people can actually volunteer within RTVSR? Road Trauma Support Services of Victoria.
Yeah, sure. Look, just say RTSSV. It's much easier, I'd say. Look, we utilise volunteers right across the organisations, from our Board of Governance right through to delivering programs. And of our 120 volunteers or so, 80% of those are engaged in delivering education seminars to people across the state. So we engage our volunteers to tell their personal stories of road trauma and their experiences of recovery, in order to work with the attitudes of people that perhaps, you know, make mistakes on our roads, I'd say.
Okay, mistakes, meaning involved with road trauma, speeding,
look, driving. There's a whole lot of, I'll say, offences that come through the Magistrates Court and the legal system, so it's very difficult to find a generic term to describe what that means, and it encompasses quite a number of, or quite a range of offences.
Okay, cool.
Do you still do events in high schools and have people come to talk to groups of year 11 and 12 students and things like that?
Look, we do occasionally work with schools and we do presentations to schools. That's not a major part of the work that we do. We do have reasonably limited resources, and the bulk of our education team do work in delivering our road trauma awareness seminars, but we do occasionally work with school students, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned before that, you know, it's a voluntary organisation. Oh, sorry, you rely a lot on volunteers for that, and that it's not for profit. How does an organisation like Road Trauma Support Services Victoria start?
It started in December 1994, actually, with the founder had a couple of years previously lost her daughter to a crash. And at that time, there was very little support for people who had been traumatised or bereaved as a result of road trauma. And it started as, you know, voluntarily started in her lounge room at home with a microphone, good heavens, with a portable phone and $5,000, and offered support to people that had been likewise affected.
Okay. So in terms of, you know, setting up a voluntary organisation, it was done by, sorry, not so much a voluntary organisation, an organisation that was set up out of need for a person who wasn't able to access the services that were important to them at the time. But it started, as you said, in somebody's back room.
That's exactly right.
Okay. That must be really difficult to get one of those sort of, you know, momentums happening. How do you go from one person to having volunteers of, how many, 120?
120 or so. Yeah, look, it seems quite challenging, I would imagine, but then again, when we look at the number of people affected by road trauma, there is an enormous community need. You know, if we look at, we talk about the ripple effect in road trauma, which is, you know, engages or talks about the number of people affected by one incident, and that can be up to 1,000 people per crash. And so when we you know, look about building an organisation where there is a community need, it tends to happen quite quickly.
Fantastic. The time is 24 minutes past midday. Cameron's going to be coming back with us and staying with us for the next 36 minutes or so. To lead us into that, we have our next song, which is Do You Want to Be by I'm Talking. Everyone, and you are listening to the team here at Absolutely Everybody. The last advertisement that was displayed was talking about the trivia night. Jim from the show Is Nothing Sacred was in just before, and he asked us if we could actually mention that he's got one or two spaces left on his table, and he's thrown it out there that if you want to come for the trivia night, make sure you book his table because he says he's bound to win. Amy, tell us about what's happening in the community.
Well, before I do that, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to some lovely listeners of ours. We've got Stephanie, Di, Marie and Stacey from fabulous David House all tuning in. So I want to say a big hello and thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll see you in here in a few weeks for a tour and a bit of a interview maybe.
Fantastic. And David House is over in Yarraville in the western suburbs?
Yes, indeed. It's part of Anecto Yarraville, and yeah, they've got some fabulous people and programs going on there at the moment.
And over the past few weeks, we've had a number of people from Anecto coming in to talk about some of the stuff that they have done. And I think in the next few weeks, Lucy, who's on paneling, and I'm just drawing her eyes, they'll be coming in, I think, the scheduling over the next few weeks to talk some more stuff.
Lando next week.
Yep.
So that would be an interesting interview to tune in and see what else is happening in the community sector.
Excellent stuff.
And yes. Also happening on the 29th of March is the Bani Tuwana Nagari Water to Water Festival, which I've totally stuffed up the name of and I apologise profusely, which is going on in Mount Martha, the Mornington Peninsula. It starts at 2 p.m. and goes till 9 p.m. and will be a great family event with music, Q&A, hip-hop, human rights, all sorts of things going on. So if you want to find out more information, log on to watertowater.org.au or on social media, search for Water to Water Festival and get involved. It sounds like a great event.
I actually think it's one of those things that, you know, part of what we do is, you know, making sure people are aware of what's happening. And, you know, thanks to SJ for sending us that to read out today. It sounds like a good day out.
Yes, absolutely. So get involved and get your tickets and who knows, you might see some music that you've never heard before and think that's pretty cool stuff.
Excellent. Now, you're also talking about an exhibition that's coming up, Amy.
There was an exhibition in Perth, actually, which the name of it escapes me, but it was an interesting exhibition where a curator decided to collect other people's belongings that they've lost or left in nearby stations or community places and put them in plastic and display them. So they've got all sorts of little notes, love notes and notes on receipts, coffee receipts, all sorts of interesting things. And it's a really interesting insight, I think, into modern life and how busy we all are.
Absolutely. And as you say, one person's art is another person's potential art.
Absolutely. And when I find the name of that, I will let you
You'll let us know.
Oh, Lost Moments of Daily Life.
Excellent stuff.
I think it's called.
Yep.
Yes. In the State Library in Perth.
Okay.
So if you're in WA, get down there and have a look because it sounds fascinating
Absolutely.
To me.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, Amy, you have the task of introducing the next song, and it sounds like you've had the day for hard pronunciation, so I'm throwing this one to you.
That's okay. Next up, we've got Wakan by Gurumul.
Oh, Is food a problem for you?
Do you eat when you're not hungry?
Is food affecting the way you live? Overeaters Anonymous can help in a safe, welcoming environment. For more information on meetings and resources to help you take control of your life,
visit oa.org.au.
The Zoe Bell Gender Centre is a support service which aims to improve the health and well-being of Victoria's sex and gender diverse community, providing online resources like our searchable resources directory, a knowledge sharing questions and answers section, and more. The Zoe Bell Gender Centre also runs exciting events for the local sex and gender diverse community. The Zoe Bell Gender Centre, aiming for a society that values people of all sex and gender identities and expressions. To find out more or to get involved, visit gendercentre.com or email contact@gendercentre.com.
It's all about you, me, and inclusion. Absolutely everybody on Joy 94.9.
You're with Amy and Trevor, and it's 21 minutes to one, and Cameron's still with us, and we're going to have a chat now about volunteering.
So, Cameron, tell me, why should people volunteer?
Why should they, or why do they?
Good both. Question. Yeah.
Well, within our organisation, it's a quite a specialised field, and the reasons people volunteer to do speaking, for example, are many and varied as the people that do the work. Why do they? Look, I would suggest that a lot of people who have been affected by road trauma have suffered such significant psychological, emotional and physical trauma as a result of that impact that they will do all that they can to prevent it happening to the next person. And while we talk about it, you know, possibly happening to anybody, it's a case that it doesn't possibly happen to everybody. It does actually happen to a lot. So what it does, it provides them the opportunity to prevent others suffering in the same way.
You mentioned before the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
The ripple effect. Well, if we look at a fatality on the roads, and that's certainly not including serious injury or hospitalisation, but we look at a fatality, up to 1,000 people can be affected by that one fatality. So whether it be family and friends, employers, colleagues, what have you, that's what we refer to as the ripple effect.
Okay. And again, it's, as you said before, it's that sense of this could actually happen to anybody.
And it does.
Mm. So in terms of, you know, the work that you do, you've mentioned some of the programs where you rely on volunteers to make sure the message is getting out there. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned some of the education ones. Mm-hmm. What else does Road Trauma Support Services of Victoria offer?
Well, we also offer the counselling services, and that's a statewide service as well. There are some volunteers that work in that space, but you could, you know, appreciate that to be able to counsel people that have been traumatised is a very, very highly specialised skill. So we're very careful is perhaps the wrong word, but we're very cautious around the employment of volunteers in that space because of the needs of the client group that we interact with. Mm-hmm. Insofar as other functions of the organisation, we use volunteers in administrative functions. And amongst the most important is that of our board. Without the directors on the board, of which there are nine, we would not have an organisation. When you look at the Corporations Act, for an incorporated entity as we are, it's mandatory that we have a board. So mm-hmm. without our board of directors, again, they are volunteers, we wouldn't have an organisation.
So in terms of attracting volunteers, you're trying to attract people with perhaps at the board level a sense of business understanding, a piece, you know, legislation. Would that be right as well?
Well, I think, again, it depends on the functions of the organisation we're trying to fill. Sort of, certainly at board level, we sort of require people with a range of different skills. We have directors that are bankers. We have directors that have marketing backgrounds. We have a solicitor on the board. So it's quite a diverse range of skills that we have on the board. And the functions of the board are, of course, to ensure that the organisation operates with a legal framework. So they need to have some sort of context around, you know, working in those positions. Again, you know, the skills and the experiences of our volunteers are as many and varied as the people who do the job, and they do an extraordinarily good job in a very, very difficult industry.
Sure. So what sort of supports do they get being a volunteer?
Our volunteers in the education part of the world are very, very well supported by our educators and our regional coordinators who work across the state. It's very much, we work on a community development model where we have local people supporting local people. You know, we aim very much not to centralise these functions too much because we like to have a face behind the support.
So from that, do you mean that you try and keep it more personal in the way that you interact?
Well, what we, yes, look, ultimately, yes. You know, I suppose when you're working in human services industries, then the whole push is to keep it personalised. And where our volunteer speakers work directly with our educators, the educators and our regional coordinators understand the needs of that individual, whether they be a volunteer or otherwise, and they're probably best placed to be able to offer support in the most appropriate manner.
Okay. You mentioned before there's actually a webpage where people can sort of jump online and have a look at and see where they can volunteer. Mm-hmm. Can you remind me of what that webpage was?
Certainly. The organisation's webpage is www.rtssv.org.au.
Mm-hmm. And that's for volunteers for your service?
Well, it's a webpage for the entire organisation, and by going onto that site, you get a good feel for the work that we do, and all aspects of the organisation are very welcoming of any volunteer support that we can get.
Mm-hmm. And whereabouts do you also list that webpage?
Where do you,
in terms of if people are wanting to volunteer, not just in your service, but volunteer in a range of services, is there one place that somebody could go to and just say, I want to do volunteering. I'm not sure what I want to do, but I just want to give back to the community.
Certainly,
because it's important
certainly.
To me.
Look, we work quite closely with Volunteering Victoria. And that is an organisation that supports volunteers and also does some recruitment in the volunteer space.
Okay. So in terms of, the skill base, what would they be looking for? Do you have any idea?
Well, it very much depends on the type of organisation that they're looking to recruit for.
Okay, fantastic. You've mentioned that, coming up you've got an event that's going to be, hoping to raise the profile for.
That's right. Look, in May, we're having a Shine Light initiative, which means that on the 16th of May, which is a Friday, we'll be requesting that motorists and motorcycle riders turn on their headlights to highlight a focus on road safety. And that'll be followed on the 18th of May, which is a Sunday, by a community walk at Gels Park. And registrations are available through the website. And that is looking at, I suppose, creating communities of support, because people talk about, being terribly isolated by the impacts of road trauma. And we're looking to create communities of support and raise awareness for the organisation and road safety.
That sounds like a really interesting event and a great way to bring in a bit more community inclusion and try and connect people who sound like they'd be quite isolated during the initial stages of recovery and all of that.
Mm. Yeah, look, a lot of our clients who access our counselling services do talk about the fact that suffering trauma in this context is very, very isolating, because the trauma that they experience, be it through fatality or serious injury, is sudden. And unlike, within palliative care, there's no time to prepare and plan for the loss or disability of a loved one. So they talk about that experience being very, very isolating. And what we're trying to do is, I suppose, reinvigorate the roots of the organisation, and that is to create communities of support so people can support each other in informal and formal ways, in ways that best suit them.
Sure. I know a couple of weeks ago, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, you mentioned that you're up in Bendigo attending a fundraiser. What was all that one about?
The fundraiser was held in Bendigo. Now, you're pushing me to remember the name of the organisation now, aren't you?
That's my job.
That was, in fact, last August, and that was a terrific initiative held by the indoor roller skating rink. I can't remember the name of the organisation. But they held a fundraiser on our behalf, and that was terrific.
So, again, in terms of the work that people can do for you, they can, come up with some ideas about raising funds to help, promote your message.
My word.
Can do it in, I think you were mentioning that that was done in almost memory of one of the people that they knew within the community.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's very true. Yeah, one of their staff members had been killed in a road accident, I'd say now about 12 months ago, if not a bit longer, and they held that event in his memory.
It sounds like a fantastic idea. The time is 12 minutes to 1.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's 7 minutes to 1, and you're with Amy, Trevor and Cameron. And we're going to have a bit more of a chat about road trauma. And I had an interesting question about the road toll. And a lot of people are aware of the road toll and do a lot of good community initiatives to get the road toll down. But there's a lot more behind the road toll than just getting it down, isn't there?
My word, there is. You know, I think there's an assumption that the record low road toll that occurred last year in 2013 equated to perhaps a drop in trauma rates, and that's actually not the case, because what we're finding is that although there's a drop in fatalities, or there was last year, 90-year low, I believe, there's an increased survival rate through serious crashes, so more people are living longer with serious injury. What that also means is that the rates of trauma, in fact, are not necessarily dropping. It might mean that the nature of the trauma is changing, but trauma is still prevalent. And we've seen that in the last 12 months with referrals to our counselling services increasing by 850%.
Wow. Do you think perhaps that if we had a road toll but also a trauma toll, would that widen people's awareness?
Well, I think it's very difficult to really have a trauma toll, because it's very difficult to define what trauma is. You know, a lot of the vast majority of people that seek counselling haven't been directly involved in the accident. They might be families or friends, they might be witnesses, they might be first on scene, they might be emergency services workers. So,
and for
each person experiences trauma differently. So, you know, it can be quite a subjective subject. So, it's very difficult to quantify. As far as we're concerned, if somebody's traumatised, they're traumatised. We don't ask them to quantify it or justify that in any way, shape or form.
No, absolutely. I was just thinking more trying to raise community awareness that when crashes happen, there's more than just...
My word.
Fatalities or...
Of course.
Car repairs and that kind of thing.
My word.
Extends a lot deeper than that.
And that's a very good point. Look, I would say, look, while it's absolutely terrific that we're working to reduce the road toll, I think we've also got to be very mindful that the social and the familial and the economic impact to the community as a result of trauma is still as significant, if perhaps more significant than it ever has been.
Just a sort of idea to sort of throw out there. Lucy has madly scribbled this down for me, and that's the joy of being on the panel with us today. This whole idea about, you know, when you're working with people, whether it be, you know, your volunteers are working with people who have been affected by road trauma, what's your goal? Like, what do you want these people to walk away with, you know, after how many sessions? Where do you want them to go?
Are you talking in the counselling space or in their capacity to work as volunteers?
Well, we'll start within the counselling space.
Within the counselling space. Look, our counsellors are incredibly skilled people, and the work they do is relentlessly difficult. From a counselling perspective, we would like to see that people come to us, or I should say they should leave us, in perhaps a state of, look, I suppose a word that we use is recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Recovery is perhaps not a word that I would use, but then I'm not a counsellor, so I sort of qualify that statement. I would say that I would like to see the people leave our counselling services with an increased capacity or ability to adapt to their changed circumstances.
Okay. Yep.
Insofar as having people volunteer, it's always invaluable for them to feel that they've made a contribution that cannot be quantified in dollar terms. And that we aim to see that their efforts have, in fact, made a difference insofar as reducing the incidence and impact of trauma on our roads.
Okay. And I think it's really important that we keep going back to that whole thing about a lot of agencies, not just yours, relies on people with volunteers to help build community strengths and community programs to, you know, look after the people around them. Joy, for example, runs, you know, quite or significantly on the use of volunteers, and you know, both Amy and myself are volunteers for this program and have done the training. So I think we can't underestimate the value that volunteers bring to a service.
Mm.
What are your ideas around how to get more volunteers into a service? How would you attract them?
How would I attract them? Yeah. Gee, in my part of the world, I'd really like not to. And I qualify that because, you know, the people that volunteer for Road Trauma Support Services Victoria have been, in fact, traumatised.
And I suppose it would be one of those things, if you didn't need them, that would be great, because
absolutely.
There's no road trauma.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. But for those who would like to you know, work with us, we're more than willing to be able to work with them. And if I could just do a big shout-out and a great big thank you to all our volunteers who work in the organisation. They do an absolutely extraordinary job, and it does take its toll, but they're persistent and they do a wonderful job.
Fantastic. And again, it's really good for us to see that, you know, the benefit of what giving back to the community is all about. You know, this show is about inclusion. It's about building on strengths. It's about building on capacity. And here's a really good model where we can see that through, you know, through trauma, even though we can, you know, we probably use 10 or 15 different words on that, that there are some outcomes, there's some direction, and whether it be 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, there's, you know, there's something to move forward on.
Yeah, there's a goal. There is certainly, I suppose, value in the contributions that our volunteers make, and that in itself is priceless.
Okay, it's 2 minutes to one. Is there one message that you think is really, really important from doing the stuff that you do?
You just drive safely.
That is a great message to close on. It's 1 minute to one. Amy, any final last words?
No, I'm just glad the gremlins stayed away. Great job, Lucy, and thanks to all the Joy staff for bailing us out there, because we don't know what happened. And I hope you can all join us next week for a great show. It'll be Julia and myself in the hot seat next week.
And Lucy will
and
be paneling.
And Lando will be on from Enecto telling us more great inclusion events and what's going on with Enecto.
Fantastic. Take care and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody. Sponsored by and presented by Enecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.